It's so encouraging and refreshing to know that that I can be out of town and the church is not going to skip a beat. Everything's going to go very well. I had great reports concerning the services that were had, both with Brother and Sister Duncan and Brother and Sister Davis. So thank you so much for coming and being part of those services, even in our absence. And I want you to know that that means a lot when the pastor is away and people still come. Yeah. And so we thank you for that. We do want to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. We do want to ask you to remember both the Grimm family and the Piles family. They left this morning on vacation, so they'll be out of town for about a week or a little more. I think maybe 10 days total. So I know that they would cover your prayers and that they would have a great time. It's good to go and go on vacation and relax and just kind of recharge, if you will. And I'm not opposed to anybody taking time and going and refreshing, recharging. And so let's continue to remember them in prayer. I also ask you to remember Sister Christy Fredrickson in prayer. She's not been feeling well of late and is not able. If Sister Christy's not in church, she's not feeling good. And so I told her that we would have prayer for her. And so let's remember her in prayer. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to make known to the church? And we will take that need before the Lord. Just come. All right, Sister D. Wow. Thank the Lord. And what's her name? Okay, all right. Mary's mom, all right. The Lord knows who that is. Anybody else? Brother Ryan. And what's her name again, bro? Jocelyn. All right, let's remember her in prayer. I also ask you to remember the Dupree family. That's my wife's maiden name, in case you didn't know that. Death of her grandfather while we were down there in Florida. Just pray that everything goes smooth. Many times when you have he's kind of a patriarch of the family, if you will, and especially remember her Nana. In prayer. They were married almost 61 years, and so she's understandably taking it quite rough, and the funeral services are viewing on Thursday, funeral on Friday, and so I'd ask that you would remember the Dupree family in prayer. Anybody else? All right, let's stand. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, continue to remember Dwayne Lewis battling brain cancer there, and let's continue to lift him up before the Lord, a friend of my wife's, and we were planning to try to see them on our way back from Florida, but we had to kind of put off our departure till we found out the details of the viewing and funeral, and so it just kind of it happened at a time where we kind of had to rearrange some things, so we were not able to go by and see him. But let's continue to lift him up in prayer, Sister Pat. All right, certainly. Why don't you stand to your feet? We believe in the power of prayer. We're not just something we do on a, as tradition or a ritual, but we believe that when we call out these needs before the Lord, that there is there's something that happens in the spirit realm, and we believe in the power of prayer. And so let's go to Him right now. Dear Jesus, we love You. We thank You that we can bring these needs, these names before You in prayer. God, we know that You are caring, God, and You are concerned with those cares and concerns of our lives, God. Lord, the Bible instructs us to come before You in prayer, God, make our petition and request known unto You, God, that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ access, God, to come before You, God. Lord, to bring these needs before You in prayer, believing and trusting in Your power to work in us and through us, God, that our hands would be hands that heal in Your power, God, that we would speak words of life, God, and those dealing with death and situations. Lord, we pray for Your comfort, Your peace, Your strength, God. We know that Your Spirit is there to lead and guide and to help, God, every situation and every circumstance. You are the answer to every problem, Lord, and we can come to You in prayer, believing and trusting in Your power and Your ability to work and to move. We love You, Jesus. We praise You. We thank You. We glorify You, Lord. We honor You, Jesus, and all that You are and all that You do, God. We love You. We praise You. We magnify You. We give You glory and honor for who You are and what You do, and Your name that is above every name, and the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask. We believe it to be done, and everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? He's worthy of praise. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Sister D, I failed to make that announcement before they left, and so I apologize. I realized, like, I know there's something I got to announce, and then the youth are already up there, so it won't do me any good to make that announcement. I apologize for that. We are continuing in our study. I know it's been some time. Obviously, we've been away, but we kind of entered into this study last year. That's kind of funny you say it now, but And so I said once we got into the meat of the subject, if you will, that I kind of wanted to make sure we started that at the beginning of the year. So here we are, 2016, and we're continuing in this study. And tonight we're going to kind of launch out into the meat of the study. And just kind of as a review, basically what we're talking about. We're talking about growing a church. And not just any church, we're talking about growing an apostolic church. We're talking about growing our church not only quantitatively in the sense of quantity of people, but qualitatively in the sense of our own walks, relationships with God. And we know that as we grow and as we mature, the church will grow and the church will mature. And as we understand these principles and we apply them in our lives, we should expect to see church growth. We should expect to see people come. We should expect to have more Bible studies taught. We should expect to see more people in the altars. That should be a product of what we're doing. And let's just face it. If we teach on these things, we talk about these things, but we don't apply these things or we don't put these things into practice, it's not going to really do us much good. And no different than if we go to school and we get taught the curriculum, but we don't ever apply that curriculum. Many times you kind of lose it. I don't know about you, but it's been a while since I've done algebra, and somebody sat down an algebra problem in front of me. Though in the eighth grade when I took algebra, I could probably do it. Now I'd probably struggle at that. Why? Because algebra is not something I practice on a continual basis. It's no different in our walking relationship with God. Prayer and some of these things that we're going to talk about, they have to be applied to our lives. We have to put these things in practice in order for us to see the progress, to see the growth take place. And so tonight we're dealing with the first of the seven apostolic principles of church growth. And tonight we're going to talk about prayer. You say, well, man, I've been around church for forever. I've heard about prayer. I've heard it talked about, taught on, preached on. Yes, as have I. But I don't know about you, but prayer is something I need more of in my life. Prayer is something that I know, though I don't always practice it as I should, I know the more I practice prayer, the more that I apply prayer in my life, the better I'll be. The better relationship I'll have with God, the better relationship I'll have with my wife, the better relationship I'll have with my children. The more that I apply these things in my life, the better individual I will become. So let's talk about these. Real quickly, we're going to do a review of the seven apostolic principles of growth. Number one, prayer. Number two, planning. Number three, persistence. Number four, preaching and teaching. Number five, power and demonstration of the Spirit. Number six, personal care. And number seven, personal involvement. Now, obviously, for the next 7 weeks or so, we're gonna take each one of these topics and we're gonna study them in depth. And tonight, we're gonna talk about prayer. We're gonna study prayer. What does it mean to pray? What does the Bible have to say about prayer? How did the first church did they pray? And was it the facilitating factor of growth in the first church? And so we're gonna talk about these things. But we're gonna talk about them not only on an individual level but on a collective level, because if we are gonna grow as a church, our commitment to prayer has to grow. First and foremost, it's no mystery why prayer is number one. It's no mystery why the first of the seven apostolic principles of church growth is prayer. Prayer is the building block, if you will. It's the foundation. It's essential. And I'm going to show you in the scripture how that when we look at the foundation of the New Testament church, the beginning of the New Testament church, the book of Acts, and we understand that this right after Jesus ascended and he told them to go and wait in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high, we'll see what they do in response to Jesus telling them to go and do that. Go and wait. So let's get into it. The beginning of the church. Here it is in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. This is after Jesus ascends, and they returned unto Jerusalem from the Mount Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They depart from where Jesus has ascended on the Mount Olivet. Now, Jesus has told them, you're to go to the city of Jerusalem, you're to wait to be endued with power from on high. And so they go, they gather together in the city of Jerusalem, and they don't just sit down and look at one another. They don't just... Now, think about it from a very practical sense. Jesus has been resurrected. He's been seen of them for 40 days, and now Jesus is talking and he's telling them, and then all of a sudden he ascends into the heavens. And they're to go to Jerusalem and wait for this promise of the Father that Jesus says is coming. And so they go to the city of Jerusalem. Evidently, I kind of think, I would have wondered, what is this promise? How is this promise coming? What's gonna happen? How is this gonna work out? And no doubt there was discussion. No doubt there was questions. I wonder what it's gonna be. I wonder how it's gonna happen. So, but somewhere along the line, some of them got the understanding. Wait a second, let's pray about this. Remember, one of the questions that the disciples asked Jesus was, "Lord, teach us to pray." They saw in the life of Jesus a man who prayed, a man who oft times, the Bible said, resorted thither to pray. They understood that Jesus prayed. And so when they came together, though there was probably question and they really didn't know exactly what was going to happen or how it was going to happen, only that Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait till they endued with power. What is this power? How is it going to happen? Somewhere along the line, they got together and said, let's pray about this. And so the Bible said they're all with one accord in prayer. Now, there may have been some that were praying very quietly, and there may have been others that were praying loud. We have that in our services. There may have been some that were just kind of maybe making repetition because they really didn't know and understand all the rudiments of prayer, if you will. And there may have been others who had been with Jesus for a while and had learned from his example, but we don't even know the format in which they prayed. Maybe they followed the format that Jesus told them and what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. We don't know. We just know that they were in one accord and in prayer. And so the beginning of the church, the beginning of the apostolic church, if you will, founded upon the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, the beginning of the church, its inception begins with people gathering together to pray. How important is prayer? Well, it's the beginning of the church. They got together. We got to pray about this. And in one accord, they began to pray. Now, when you think about it in this aspect, prayer preceded all other activity. I'm going to show you that. Before they even made an election as to who would fulfill the place that Judas had vacated, they prayed. Prayer was before election of the 12th disciple to fill the vacancy by Judas. Prayer was before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Catch that. They prayed before the promise of the Father came. They got in one accord. There was unity in prayer. They were, and I just have it that maybe they were all praying about the same thing. Maybe they were all praying about this promise of the Father. Maybe they were all praying, Lord, send this promise. Lord, we're ready for this promise. Lord, we want to experience this promise. I believe, the Bible doesn't say, but the Bible says they were in one accord. And the only thing I can think of is that they were in one accord about the subject that Jesus told them was about to take place. And so they're praying about this power. They're praying about being endued with power from on high. And they're in one accord and they're praying. Before any other business was conducted, they prayed. Before they elected the 12th disciple, they prayed. Before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, they prayed. And guess what? Before the preaching, they prayed. You see, I'm just going to meddle a little bit. Often we get things backwards. Prayer is one of the last things we do in church service. Come to the altar to pray. Sung the songs, the preachers preach, and then they make the altar call, and people come to pray. And then people, many times, been there myself, we get to where we should have been when we came in service at the end of service. When if we would have begun service with prayer, if we'd have prayed on our way to church, if we'd have spent time in preparing our heart to receive the word and to be involved in worship and to be involved in praise, guess what? I believe the atmosphere of our church would change. I believe that people would come in and feel the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And prayer preceded all other activity. How important is prayer? Well, I'd say it's very important. Realize before the first noted miracle by the disciples, it was prayer. Matter of fact, you read Acts 3 and you find out that Peter and John were on their way to pray. The Bible says they were headed to the temple at the time of prayer. They were going to pray. And there we have the first noted miracle by the disciples, the man who sat at the gate beautiful. There is nothing more essential to individual and collective growth than prayer. If we don't get anything else right, we got to get prayer right. We've got to get number one, numero uno. First and foremost, we have to know what it means to have a disciplined prayer life. Individually and collectively. I'm going to talk about it here in a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and mention it. Many of the problems that we have in our lives and much of the lack of our spiritual growth stems from a lack of prayer because we don't pray as we ought to pray. We spend so much time doing so much other stuff that in the grand scheme of things has little to no eternal value. Yet the one thing that is so essential, it's like what food is to our natural body, prayer is to our spiritual body. And we need to know what it means to pray. I ask you this. Anybody know how many times a strict Muslim will pray a day? 5 times. They believe prayer is more essential than food. And 5 times a day. I know it's ritualism. I know they're praying to Allah. But they're disciplined enough. Folks, I got humbled. I was in South Africa on a missions trip, and it was real early in the morning. The sun was just coming up, and we had all gathered together. We were about to go out on a safari. And I looked over, and I saw this individual get out of one of the safari vehicles, put a carpet down, point themselves toward the east, where the sun was about to rise, and they began to go through their process of praying. And it humbled me. Do you know that in a strict Muslim nation, there will be calls to prayer throughout the day? And when that happens, everything stops. Now, I'm not advocating what they do or what they believe, but I will say this. They are some disciplined people. And they believe prayer to be one of the five pillars of Islam. Second only to under what they believe, God, Allah, and the worship of Allah. Prayer is number two. And a strict Muslim will five times a day, they will get down, they will go through the ritualistic process of their prayer called Salat, and they will pray. And sometimes we, in our busy lives, we're lucky if we remember to do it over each meal. I'm not here to bash you. I'm here to say we have to get back to understanding the importance of prayer and how essential it is to our lives and how necessary it is for us to grow, not only individually in our personal lives, but collectively as a church. We have got to get back to the importance of prayer and have a commitment to say, in 2016, I'm going to have a better prayer life. In 2016, this church is going to be a church of prayer. And that's going to take us all getting on board. That's going to take us saying, you know what? We're going to be here. 6 o'clock on Sunday night is when we start prayer. And guess what? I'm going to be here to pray. I may not be able to, and here's the thing. I'm not expecting you to have this grandiose plan. I'm gonna pray an hour a day. No, start small. Learn how to crawl before you walk, but discipline yourself to pray. Discipline yourself to set aside time to get before God, connect with the Spirit, connect with the power and presence of God, and be renewed, be rejuvenated, be re-energized by the power and presence of God. Prayer is sustenance to the soul, producing spiritual growth and progress. I will not grow. Let me tell you, I will not grow. You will not grow if we do not have a prayer life. We will not grow spiritually. We can come and sit through all kinds of sermons. We can be involved in praise and worship. But until we really have a disciplined prayer life, we will struggle in our walk and relationship with God. We will. I would struggle greatly in my relationship with my wife, if the only time I ever talked to her was on Sunday and Wednesday. Maybe she would like that on occasion, but it's all about relationship. It's all about, a lot of the problems that we deal with would go away when we learn how to pray. No one getting to any amens. First and foremost, 1 Timothy 2:1-2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in that. I'm interested in leading a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And the only way that's going to be accomplished, the only way I'm going to be able to do that is at first of all, supplication and prayers. I learn how to pray. Prayer is so essential. It is spiritual food to the spiritual body. It is something that each and every one of us need, a consistent diet of prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, Apostle Paul said at one time, I pray without ceasing. And so sometimes we have a misconstrued concept of what prayer is. Now, prayer is, understand it, prayer is vocalizing requests. Prayer is coming before God. Prayer is getting alone in a prayer closet and just me and you. But prayer is also meditating. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Prayer is also a thought life. Prayer is also thinking on good things, thinking on positive things. Prayer, I can go throughout my day, and though I may not be saying something or vocalizing something, guess what? I can be thinking about the goodness of God. I can be thinking about blessings. I can be thinking about how God's working in my life, and I can be saying, God, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for the health of my kids. Thank you for the health of my wife. Thank you. Thank you for the blessings you bestowed upon me. Thank you that the bills are being paid this month. Thank you for this blessing and thing. That's prayer. It doesn't always have to be me on my knees before God and vocalizing something. That is a part of prayer, and we need to have that time, and we need to set aside time to do that. It's discipline. It's devotion. We need that. But we also need to understand that I can be going throughout my day, going through daily life, and I can direct my attention and my thoughts on heavenly things. Set your affection upon things above. I can think on the good things of God. And when I do, guess what? When I'm feeling down in the dumps and I'm, you know, just all this stuff's going on, if I will stop, if I will make a conscious effort to stop and pray, it's amazing how much better I'll feel in just a matter of moments. It's amazing how that I'll become uplifted. That doesn't mean the problem will immediately go away. But guess what? I guarantee you this, I'll feel better about it. I'll understand he's still got the whole world in his hands. He's still got it. God's got it. We learn to pray. Purpose of prayer. In short, prayer is for two things. Number one, enables us to discern God's will. When we pray, and here's the thing. I have learned in my prayer life, initially, I did all the talking. You say, well, does God speak to you in a, you know, audible voice where you just, no. But he does speak to my heart. And I've learned how to have a conversation with God. That sounds kind of weird. I've learned how to pray, make petition and request, and then I've learned how to meditate and allow God to speak to me. Because many times, and here's the thing, here's how you, because when you pray and you ask and you're praying about a certain situation and a certain circumstance and you want to know what to do or what decision to make, and so we just keep praying about it, and we don't stop long enough to get an answer. And when we pray about that decision and then we stop, many times the thoughts that come after that, many times is God replying. God is speaking to your heart and to your mind. And that's why many times when we pray about it, our initial response to what we think is like, I ain't doing that. We pray about something and all of a sudden we have a thought that's what I should do. And you're like, mm-mm, I ain't doing that. I ain't going to that person and saying, I'm sorry, that ain't happening. But guess what? That's God. That's God speaking to your heart and to your mind. And there's many times, if I will follow that, if I will pray about a situation, and as I'm praying, I will stop. And then I'll begin to think, and all of a sudden those thoughts will begin to direct me and what to do. And if I will act upon that, guess what? That's like me and God having a conversation and him telling me what to do. And there's also the Word of God. That's for another time. But prayer is so essential, and it's a conversation, me and God. It's me spending, and one of the most important aspects of prayer is that not only does it help me discern God's will, but it empowers us to do God's will. Because many times that his will is revealed as we pray, and then we have those thoughts about how to handle this situation, and we say, oh, no, uh-uh. But guess what? Okay, God, if that's how I need to respond, Lord, then I need your power. I need to know how do I go to that individual and approach this subject and do it in a loving way. How do I go about this? How? Not only does God help us discern his will in prayer, but he also empowers us to do his will. He also gives us encouragement and strength. And many times when after we've sat down and we've really prayed about it and we've really asked God and he's given us direction and we've discerned his will, and now we get up from there, and if we will respond, but see, many times we don't respond to me. Many times we start considering, well, I don't know. I mean, just don't know if that's going to be how that's going to work out. And so sometimes we put off doing what we should do initially when God has given us the power and we know, just get up from here and do what needs to be done. Through prayer, we receive such things as desire. How many of you, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many of you have ever really had a point in time in your life where it was just prayer is something that you longed to do? Oh man, that's just. See, when you, and I'm not trying to say, you know, certain people are on certain spiritual plateaus or but there are certain people that have such a prayer life that they believe they couldn't function properly unless they had a time of prayer. They really couldn't go about doing their daily activities because they would feel somewhat lost, and they would feel like they wouldn't know exactly what to do. And so there's a desire to pray for direction. There's a desire to come before God and say, God, how does this work? There is a film that I saw with my in-laws over the holidays. It's called War Room. Anybody seen it? It's a film about prayer. It's a very well done film. Very good film. And it's about a lady who teaches, an older lady who teaches a younger lady how to pray. And this younger lady goes and she takes a bunch of stuff out of her closet and she makes the closet her war room, if you will. And she begins to pray about certain things. And now every decision, she comes in there and she's praying. And before long, she found it hard initially to pray even for a few minutes. But as she kept going after and she kept going in the prayer closet, she learned how to pray more and more. And the more she prayed, the more differences were made in her life. And the more God began to fight for her. And the more things begin to work out. And it boggles me that the one thing that has the power to change almost everything in our lives, we refuse or we neglect it. When God has given us access to communicate with Him who has all power and all wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It's right there. You just got to come. He said, listen, you have not because you ask not. I don't know what to do about this. Well, I tell you what to do. Go and pray about it. Let God direct you. Let Him give you the answers. Through prayer, we receive such things as desire, understanding, to understand. Because sometimes I'm going through a situation and I don't understand it. And there's sometimes, and talking with someone one time, and they're praying about, well, I just believe God is going to heal me, and I said, well, pray about that because maybe God has not healed you yet because God's trying to put perseverance in your life. Wait a second. Maybe God is allowing this thing to continue, if you will, because there's something different He wants. There's a spiritual healing that you need that supersedes your physical healing. And so maybe it's perseverance in your life that you really need. And when you come before God and you begin to pray about it, and all of a sudden God says, no, I'm not taking that thorn from your flesh, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. It's going to stay where it is. Why? Because there's something more needful for you that I'm allowing to take place in your life. And so now once Paul is asked the third time, he now has the understanding, okay, God's not going to take it away. It's just going to be there. I'm going to deal with it. But guess what? Now I've got the understanding. Strength. Oh, the old adage is so true. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. A lot of prayer, a lot of power. Some of the most spiritually impactful people in my life that I've come in contact with are people who had a prayer life. There's a guy that I know, if I called him up tonight and said, man, I want you to pray with me, I know before the conversation would be done, he'd be praying with me. He's got a prayer life. Encouragement. And what strength we get. We're encouraged when we spend time in prayer. I may not have all the answers, but guess what? I'm encouraged that I've discussed this with God and He knows my need. We used to sing an old song of the church, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn in you. Know a little fire is burning. Have a little talk with Jesus. And we need to, somebody understood the power of prayer. Somebody understood how much difference it would make if I just took some time and prayed about it. And just had a little talk with Jesus. A little talk with Jesus will make a big difference. Determination. I'm determined. I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me. On Him I can depend. I know I have salvation, for I feel it. I am determined to hold out to the end. I'm determined. I don't know the end result, but I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. So I'm determined to hold on. I'm determined to keep going on. And I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to be determined. It's amazing. A lot of people that are in and out and wishy-washy, I'm just going to tell you, if they would learn how to have a prayer life, it wouldn't be that way. They wouldn't be hot and cold. They would learn how to stay on fire for God. Why? If they had a prayer life which kept them consistent and kept them coming before God, there would be a determination that came with that prayer life. And even when everything ain't right and somebody makes me mad or somebody says something I don't agree with, guess what? I'd take it to the Lord in prayer, and He and I would have a discussion about it, and He'd tell me, well, just hold on. Just understand, they're just people, and we all make mistakes, and we all frail, and we all have our issues. Just be determined to keep going on. Prayer brings determination. Individual prayer. Our many problems and lack of spiritual progress are the direct result of our lack of prayer. It is. We'd solve so much if we just pray. And I know that my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. I'll heal their land. I'll take what's not fruitful and what's barren, and I'll make it productive. I'll take those issues and those problems in their life which have been stumbling blocks, and I'll make them stepping stones. They'll climb higher in me. They'll understand what they're all about. They'll understand that I allowed that thing to be in their life because I'm trying to teach them how to persevere. I'm trying to teach them to be determined. I'm trying to teach them to keep on keeping on. They need the understanding that comes through prayer. Prayer is the catalyst for productivity, progress, and power. It's so important. I will be more productive. I will see more progress in my life, and I will certainly have more power the more I learn to pray. An object lesson on prayer. The enemy of our soul seeks to keep us from connecting and communicating with God. How? Namely, through distractions and entertainments. Now, before you get all clam up on me, I'm not going to start naming distractions and entertainments and tell you they're, you know, sinful. That's not what I'm going to do. You know me as a preacher. I preach many times, and unless the Holy Ghost leads me to deal specifically, I preach in generalities and try to express principles that help us and that lead us and guide us. But here's the thing. In order to regularly connect with God, we must regularly disconnect from this world. Whew. By dismissing the distractions and avoiding the many enticements of entertainment. It says not to demonize all distractions and entertainments, only to emphasize that a steady diet of such will lead to a lack of prayer and declining spiritual health. We all enjoy entertainment. We all enjoy those distractions. We all enjoy pie and cake too. But guess what? In the natural, if that's all we fed, we'd have some health problems. We'd have some mobility problems. It's no different in the spirit. How can we expect to be spiritually healthy when we have a steady diet of this world and all it has to offer, and we don't disconnect from that? We got to deal with enough of that junk. And if we don't learn how to regularly disconnect from that and connect to God and feast on the manna from on high, guess what? We're going to have some serious decline of our spiritual health. And on the other hand, it's kind of like eating the vegetables. Our flesh doesn't want us to pray. It's a lot easier to pull up an app on my phone and play. It just is. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. It's easier. But eternally, I know it's better for me to pray. It's better for me to talk to the Lord. It's better. I'm preaching to myself just as I'm preaching to everybody else. Lord, teach me to pray. I, if this church is going to grow, I've got to be a man of prayer, because guess what? God's going to direct me and God's going to lead me as I pray and as I communicate with Him. And so I need to pray more. So let's have a little fun with this. I need a volunteer. Anybody? Step right up. Don't be shy. Man, why is everybody so scared to be a volunteer? Just one tonight. Just one. Alex, everybody give. Alex is always such a willing participant. Come on, bro. We're going to have a little fun. This may not be the best way to illustrate personal prayer, but this is going to be a way I'm going to illustrate it, if you will. Now, everybody in the congregation, you are going to be the distractions, okay? So you're going to help me just a minute. I'm going to blindfold you. Is that okay? All right, turn this way. It's going to need to be over your eyes if I'm going to blindfold you. Can you see? No? Is that too tight? How do you know I'm holding up fingers? I'm just kidding. All right. Those over your ears?
I can still hear.
I know. You can still hear. It's all good. Now, you can probably hear me better now, right? Okay. All right. Now, these are special headphones. And what I mean by special headphones, they're headphones that you use for shooting. And so when you turn on these little amplifiers, now you can hear pretty good in this ear, right?
Yes.
All right. Now you can hear pretty good in that ear, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, when you turn on these amplifiers in the headphones, at a certain decibel, they cut out the sound so that when somebody shoots a gun, the sound of that gun is muffled where you can just hear somebody just plainly talking to you. So they're mainly for shooting, okay? But I'm going to do it to illustrate a point. Alex could not hear. Though I was giving him directions and trying to get his attention, he could not hear me because of all the distractions, right? Now, this is kind of think of this in the spirit realm. Where I don't know about you, but I don't actively see in the spirit realm. Sometimes God shows me stuff, but it's not like I, just be honest, not like I walk in the spirit all the time and I see angels. I'm just not, maybe you're that spiritual, but I'm not. And so I need direction from God as to what to do, where to go, what decisions to make. And in getting to where God is, if you will, in the sense of progressing, in the sense of going forward in God and finding new territory in the Lord, I've got to be led, if you will. I believe that we are spirit-led, and the Spirit calls us or leads us to new places or directs us places. Does that make sense? Now, in the midst of all this, the world is trying to distract us. The world doesn't want us to have a walk-in relationship with God, especially the enemy of our soul. He doesn't want us to communicate with God, because if we do what God is telling us to do, guess what? That wreaks havoc on His kingdom. And so He doesn't want us being true ambassadors of Christ. He doesn't want us to be good soldiers of the cross. And so He wants us not to receive our marching orders. And guess what? When we don't pray, we're definitely not going to receive marching orders. But when we learn how to pray, it's not that the distractions are no longer there. Is that we learn how to decipher between what is a distraction and what is the voice of God. And we learn how to displace those things. Because the Bible says that the enemy can transform himself to an angel of light. He is a master of deception. And there are many times the only way I'm really going to know God's will is if I hear His voice in prayer as He leads me. All right? So we're going to go through the same thing again. Can you hear pretty good now?
Yes.
All right. Eyes still blinded. Ears muffled, but they're only going to be muffled at a certain decibel, if you will. Okay? Now, I'm going to go to that same place, and then when I get down to one, you're going to start clapping. And then we're going to see if we can get Alex to where I'm at. Ready? To your right. Other right. Walk forward. No. You need to pray more, Alex. Turn to your left. Turn around. About face. All right, straight. Walk straight. You got it. Keep coming. Straight. Keep coming. There's a pew to your right. Just keep coming. Keep straight. Come on. Another 10 feet straight. Come on. Another 10 feet straight. You got it. Keep walking. You got it. Three more paces. Three more steps. Turn to your left. Walk straight. Don't hit the pew. That's Brother Mike. He's right in front of you. Come this way a little bit. But when we learn to pray, we learn how to listen to the voice of God. And though there's distractions and though there's things in life which try to detour us and keep us, if we just stay focused and we're determined. What I like about Brother Alex, he didn't give up. He didn't just decide to sit down. He just kept trying to find me. He just kept moving forward. Just keep coming. Just keep. And that's why prayer is so important. I'm closing. Just as individual prayer is essential to personal growth and progress spiritually, so is collective prayer. Essential to the spiritual growth and progress of the church. We have got to be a people that know how to pray. In 2006, we need a greater commitment to prayer, both individually and collectively. We need to learn to pray. It's essential. It's so necessary. As our commitment to prayer increases, we will experience an increase in growth and progress as a church. We will. If our commitment to prayer grows, we will see growth. Because here's the thing, when we pray about things and we collectively pray about things and then we see God answered, it gives us faith to pray for more. And as that happens, as I was reading this book, you can stand to your feet. I was reading in the book written by Brother Bernard entitled The Seven Apostolic Principles of Growth. And he talked about when he first established a church there in Austin, Texas, and though they were in a rented building, they didn't have their own building, so they were only able to have church on Sunday and then Tuesday. And so there was a long span of time between Tuesday and Sunday, which he just felt like it was not good for the church that they would go that many days without gathering. And so he decided to start having a prayer meeting in his home. And so on Thursday night, he had a prayer meeting in his home, and the people would come. And he said, well, one of the greatest contributing factors to the growth of his church is that when people would gather together on Thursday night and they would pray about certain things and about certain individuals, and then on Sunday, they would watch some of those individuals that they prayed about come into church. And he said it was such a faith builder for the people because they saw, and in prayer, there was that potential and there was that possibility, and then all of a sudden, they saw it happen. And it gave them such faith to believe for greater things. And so prayer became something that they longed to do because they saw the effects. They saw the progress. They saw the product of their prayer. And so as a church, when we get together and we pray, it is no mystery why many times our Sunday night services are so powerful. Because we gather together and we pray. And if you can... I'm just going to encourage you as pastor at 2016, let's put this principle into practice. Let's commit to be here on 6 o'clock on Sunday night, and I'm going to pray. You say, well, I don't really know how to pray for 30 minutes. Well, again, it's a conversation. You don't got to do all the talking. Just commit. Show your support by saying, I want to be a part of this. I want to see this church grow. And so collectively, we're going to pray. Now, we would be remiss if we did not dismiss in prayer. But it's not just going to be just a ritualistic prayer. And if you feel comfortable doing so, I encourage you, lift your voice. Let's just take a few moments and let's pray. Let's pray that we learn how to practice these things and put these and apply them into our lives. And let's just bind together and pray. Lord Jesus, how we need to pray. There's few things more essential to our spiritual growth and development than learning what it means to pray, to spend time. Lord, we all are well aware, God, the more we pray, the more powerful we are, the more progress we have, the more productive we are in our lives, God. And if that's true in an individual sense, it is certainly true in a collective sense. And as a church, as a body of believers, we need to understand the importance and the power of prayer, God. We need, God, to connect with your power and your spirit, God. We need to disconnect from this world, its enticements, entertainments, and its distractions. And we need to be able to discern your voice and understand where you're leading and how you're guiding us. Lord, we need to understand prayer, God, and have it a principle that we apply in our daily lives. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We glorify your precious name. We honor you, God, for who you are and what you do. Let us be a people of prayer. Let 2016 be a year that we remember as a year that we really put an emphasis on prayer and we really spent time in your presence, God, and we saw the progress and we saw the productivity, God, as we prayed concerning these needs. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. We honor you, Jesus, in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. You may go in Jesus' name.